Good morning, church. Good morning. I was waiting for the announcements and love offering, but I guess I came a little too late. But I apologize. You know, we've had a long weekend, but it's good to be here in the house of the Lord. Amen. So I guess we missed the time in which we asked for prayers, and I just want to lift up Louisiana in your prayers today, this morning, please. I understand from my family and relatives who still live there that a lot of places, that we're out of electricity because of the last hurricane that went through. They just had electricity come back, and then this hurricane comes through again, and so they're out again. So, I mean, they need our prayers, definitely. So, but I mean, everything that's happening in the world, it's happening for one reason, basically. You know, God is aware of everything that's going on around the world. It's not like it took him by surprise, you know, the pandemic and then the natural disasters, everything that's been going on in California. A friend of mine was telling me that God has a purpose for everything, and be it an individual purpose or a purpose for a community, God has something in mind for each and every one of us, you know, whether we need to go back to Him, whether we need to go back to basics, whether we need to be revived, right, in the church. We need revival in the church, don't we? I believe we do. We really do. Yep, our schools, our young people, we all need revival. And so I think God is telling us something, you know, just to be prepared. And it all points, basically, to the return of Christ for His church. Whether you believe in the rapture, or like my good friend Bobby would say, the rupture, or the second coming of Christ, you know, Christ will come back soon. And so we need to be prepared, okay? So that's my conviction this morning, and I hope it is the church's as well. So without taking any more time this morning, church, I would like to invite you to go to the scriptures, to Genesis chapter 4, Genesis 4, and we're going to the beginning, to the first book in the Bible. And God has been speaking to our sister congregation, the Spanish congregation, on Saturday nights from this book of Genesis. We have been going through the New Testament, but we've been hearing from the Lord in Genesis, because it's the Bible and it's the Word of God, Genesis through Revelation. And God has something for us this morning from this book, Book of Genesis. And we're going to be reading from verses 16 through 24, and I'll be talking a little bit about the background of it, so you'll know what's going on. You'll be reminded of what the story says, and especially for those of us who've never had the chance to read Genesis, you'll know what we'll be talking about this morning. So basically, we'll have two scriptures this morning, Genesis 4, 16 through 24, and then we'll be jumping to Genesis 5, verses 28 through 31. But starting in Genesis 4, verse 16, from the New Living Translation, it says, "So Cain left the Lord's presence and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Cain had sexual relations with his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. Then Cain founded a city which he named Enoch after his son. Enoch had a son named Irad. Irad became the father of Meuhael. Meuhael became the father of Methushael. And Methushael became the father of Lamech. Lamech married two women. The first was named Ada, and the second was Zillah. Ada gave birth to Jabal, who was the first of those who raised livestock and lived in tents. His brother's name was Jubal, the first of all who played the harp and flute. Lamech's other wife, Zillah, gave birth to a son named Tubal-Cain. He became an expert in forging tools of bronze and iron. Tubal-Cain had a sister named Naamah." So don't get confused with all those names, but they do have a purpose. Remember I was saying at the beginning that God has a purpose for everything? So it's no coincidence that you see a lot of these weird-sounding names. There's something behind them. And so, but please remember this one only, Lamech. That's the one that will be, that God will be talking to us about this morning. So verse 23 says, "One day Lamech said to his wives, 'Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. Listen to me, you wives of Lamech. I have killed a man who attacked me, a young man who wounded me. If someone who kills Cain is punished seven times, then the one who kills me will be punished 77 times. Sounded like an arrogant fellow, huh? Very aggressive guy. Now let's go to Genesis 5, 28 through 31. When Lamech was 182 years old, he became the father of a son. Here we find another guy. This is another guy with the same name, Lamech. Okay, remember that, Lamech. It's a different guy. Could have been years later, could have been centuries later, because remember, back then, human beings lived up to almost 1,000 years. You know, I believe the longest human being was Methuselah. Yes, thank you. 969 years of age. Amazing, huh? And so it could have been years later, decades later, it could have been centuries later when this account takes place. Second Lamech, 182 years old. He becomes the father of a son. Lamech named his son Noah, for he said, "May he bring us relief from our work and the painful labor of farming this ground that the Lord has cursed." He's talking about how God had cursed the land because of fall of man. Remember back in Genesis 3, I believe, when the sneaky serpent, the devil himself, deceived Adam and deceived Eve. And they both disobeyed God, his word. And so there was a price to pay, a consequence. The land was cursed. The earth was cursed, as you and I know it today. And it's still cursed. We're still living under a curse here in this world. Even though, thank God and thank Jesus, we're still able to enjoy his blessings. Like being here this morning, sitting in this place, is an awesome blessing that so many around the world wish they could enjoy. So praise God for that. Amen. And so continuing in verse 30. After the birth of Noah, Lamech lived another 595 years. And he had other sons and daughters. And Lamech lived 777 years. And then he died. So people had a very, very longevity. Amen. So let's pray to the Lord this morning so he may lead us in this message. Father God, I just want to thank you this morning because we're here in this place, God. This is your sanctuary and your church has gathered to praise you and to worship you. Father God, we're hungry and thirsty for you, Father. We long for you this morning, and we just want to hear from you this morning, and you only, Father God. Not from Pedro, not from anyone else, God, but from you only. And we ask you, Father God, that your Holy Spirit will stay in this place, because I know he's here in this place. Jesus is here in this place. We were just singing about that, God, that we are standing on holy ground. This is an awesome place. This is a terrible place, like the Bible says, but in the good sense, Father God. Terrible place because you are here among us, Lord. And we just pray humbly, Father, that you will speak to us through this word. In Jesus' name, I pray and we honor you. Amen. Amen. So going back to chapter 4, church, in Genesis 4, I just want to give you a little background about what's going on there. We read a little bit about Cain. And to those of us who have no idea who Cain was, or perhaps we barely remember who this guy was, Cain was Abel's brother. He was the son. He was the firstborn of Adam and Eve. Right in the beginning of creation, you know, God created the world, created the heavens, created the universe, created and made everything you and I see, and then gave them the blessing to be in that paradise called Eden, and told them to take care of his creation. But unfortunately, they listened to the devil and they sinned, they disobeyed, and they fell from God's grace. And as a consequence, God expelled them from the Garden of Eden. And so in chapter 4, it says that in the beginning, I believe, of chapter 4, it reads about how Eve gave birth to Cain and then to his little brother Abel, and to And as you probably remember, the Bible says, the Bible mentions that they both brought an offering to the Lord, and Abel's offering was acceptable to God, and Cain's offering was not. And that's a different topic. We're not going to talk about that this morning. But because of that, envy and jealousy took over Cain, and he killed his brother. That's the first murder recorded in history, you know, the first murderer, Cain, killing his brother. And as a result, God punished him, expelling him from that land, from the place where they were living, and he sent them to a place called Nod, I believe, and Nod, which means wandering. So he never had stability in his life. He went from one place to another. But apparently, you and I can deduct that he found a wife and he fathered children, because it says here in verses 17 through 18 and on that he married his wife, you know, had relations with her, and then had a son, and then had a grandson, and a great-grandson, and then had a great-great-grandson, and he named him Lamech. Lamech. Now, this is what we're going to be talking about this morning, this guy. His name was Lamech. The Bible says in verse 19 that he had two wives. He married two women, according to the New Living Translation. He was the first bigamist in history, because God never meant it that way in the beginning. You know, the Bible says in Genesis 2:24, it says that this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, not wives, right? To his wife. And the two, not the three, not the four, the two are united into one. So God meant it like that in the beginning. But here, you know, at the beginning of this story, we see that there's an issue. There's a problem here with Lamech having two wives, you know, disobeying God. It's no wonder his great-great-grandfather had been the first murderer in history. And then it says that the first one was called Ada, and the second one that he had, the other wife he had, was named Zillah. And also in verses 20 to 22, it says that he had several children. One of his children was called Jabal, and it says here that he was the first one to ever raise livestock and live in tents. So he was the first one that did business with livestock, with all kinds of animals, you know, as it is recorded here in the Bible. And it also says that his brother's name was Jubal, and he was the first one to ever play the harp and the flute. He was the father of all musicians. He was the inventor of musical instruments. You know, that's an interesting fact there that we see in the Bible. And he also had another son, a third one, and he named them Tubal Cain. And we see that in verse 22. He became an expert forger of tools of bronze and iron. He became a kind of like an ironsmith. You know, he worked with metals. So here in these verses, we can see that Lamech was well off. He had good company. He had two wives. He never suffered from loneliness, you know. It's something that God has put in our DNA, you know, the fact that we want to be with someone. We'd like to marry someone, like to spend the rest of our lives with someone. We saw that in the beginning of Genesis, Genesis 1, 2, and 3, and it talks about Adam and Eve. How God had noticed that Adam needed a companion, and he made a wife, he made a woman for him. But we can see here that Lamech was not worried about being lonely. He had company, and in fact, Ada was beautiful. Her name means beauty, and it also means ornament. So she was very graceful. She was very beautiful. And that beauty gave him pride, gave him a sense of pride, gave this guy a meaning. And Zillah was the other wife. Zillah means shade. That's the meaning of that name, shade. And it gave him some sense of refreshment. company and refreshment. And his children as well. His children brought him joy, stability, and protection. That's why we're saying this, that Lamech was well off. He was doing pretty good for someone back then. Jubal would lift his spirits with his music, meaning that he never would be bored. He would never be sad. He would always have someone there with him, lifting him up. And Jubal would give him economic stability. What do I mean by that, church? By economic stability. Remember that Jubal was the father of all those who raised livestock. And it says that he would live in tents. Jubal means a stream of abundance. That's the meaning of that name. A stream of abundance in times of economic hardship. So we can see that Lamech had two wives. He had a son who would play music. And remember, this was back then where there was no form of entertainment, no TV, no electronics, nothing to keep them entertained. So music was a very important part in their lives back then, just like it is today, of course. And so Jubal would give them economic stability. Going back to Jubal, it means a stream of abundance in times of economic hardship. He had provision. He had what he needed back then. And then Tubal-Cain, which we read about in verse 22, gave him an additional source of income and physical protection. What do I mean by that, church? An additional source of income. Remember, he was the forger of tools. He was the inventor of metal tools, iron and bronze. And back then, you know, they were probably coming out of the Stone Age. But having discovered metals, iron and bronze, would give him an additional source of income, would give him a sense of importance, a meaning of importance. And so being the inventor of metal tools would give Lamech that additional source of income and physical protections, because he not only invented, or he not only made tools, but also weapons. And why do I say that, church? Why do I say that he also enjoyed the protection of his son? Not only the company of his wives, not only the entertainment that his son would provide, or the income, the financial income that his son would give him, but as well the protection that he enjoyed. Because we see that in verses 23 to 24. Remember, I was saying in the beginning that he sounded a little arrogant, a little proud, a little prideful. It says here that in the easy-to-read version, it says, "A man hurt me, so I killed him. I even kill a child for hitting me." We see another murderer there. Apparently, he had had an argument with another fellow. He had had a discussion, a heated discussion. And at that moment, he came and killed him with a metal weapon. And then it says here that a child was killed for hitting him as well. So he killed him with the weapons that his son had made for him. Remember, he was a forger of tools, weapons as well. So we can see a Lamech here, this guy here, we can see that he felt invincible, that he felt strong, that he felt that nothing could overpower him. In fact, his name means powerful. He had a sense of power. He felt powerful. He was very powerful, in fact. He felt empowered by the stuff he had. He felt empowered by the stuff that surrounded him. He felt empowered by the company that surrounded him. It gave him all the power that he needed back then. Lamech. You know, this guy here speaks about the person who does not have Jesus in his life today, church. It talks about the person who feels empowered by his possessions. It talks about the person who doesn't have Christ, or who doesn't see the need to have Jesus in his heart, because what he has or what surrounds him is more than enough for him or her. Because what he has and what surrounds him gives them that sense of empowerment. It can be anything, church. It can be his job. It can be her career. It can be a relationship that gives him or gives her empowerment. It can be money. And money is not evil, of course. You know, it's the love of money that's evil, the Bible says, amen. So let's not fall into that communist trap, you know. And trust me, I know what I'm talking about. Don't fall into that socialist trap. I know what I'm talking about. I've lived it. I've been there. I've seen it firsthand. I know what it is. I know what it feels like to be in a communist regime that tells you that money is bad and that you should give it all away. But we're talking about the fact that people find power in money and they're empowered by money and they feel that sense of security by money. Remember, by the love of money, let me say that. Or it could be achievements, academic achievements for a young person that can give you a sense of empowerment, that can give someone a sense of being powerful. Could be talents, could be something that you know how to do. Could be something that you know how to make or create that can give you that sense of empowerment. I mean, there's so many things that I could name this morning that can give a person that doesn't have Jesus in his heart a sense of empowerment. But let me add, a false sense of empowerment. This guy here, this fellow Lamech, speaks about that person who put his trust in those things, not in Jesus, not in God, but in those things that are physical and tangible and that you can touch and that knew that you know that you can go to at any time, at any moment. Could be medicine, church, and medicine is good. And you know, a lot of times us in the church, you know, when we get sick, what's the first thing we do, church, when we get sick? We run to the doctor. Let's be honest. We run to the doctor when the first thing we ought to do is run to Christ and run to Jesus. And medicine should be like our last alternative. And I'm not throwing medicine out the window. No, no. Remember, medicine is good. Medicine is a gift from God. It's a blessing that God has given humanity because of his church. But, you know, sometimes we put our trust in that only instead of the giver. Amen? And so could be the person that put his trust in those things or speaks about the person who finds his joy like Lamech. Remember, Lamech found joy in the music that his son would produce, that would make. He would find joy in the things that his sons would create. It talks about the person who finds her joy and protection and finds security in them. That person tries to fill her emptiness. That lady, that young lady, that woman tries to find something to fill her void with what she has or what he can get. Lamech talks about the person who doesn't have Christ in his life. You and I were in that position at one time, remember? When we didn't know who Christ was, when we didn't have Jesus in our hearts, we turned to drugs, some would turn to pornography, others would turn to adultery, others would turn to alcoholism or other vices or things in this world. Because you wanted to fill that void and emptiness in your life. But thank God, thank you, Jesus, that he found us one day. And we can stand here and witness, and we can stand here and praise him. And we find joy and meaning in being here in the house of the Lord. It breaks my heart, church, as I come to church on Sunday mornings or as I go to church on Saturday nights, because we have Saturday night services in Spanish. You're more than welcome to come by. We'll have translation available. But it breaks my heart every time my family and I are on our way to church and I see so many people doing so other stuff. And they don't come to church because they're trying to find something to fill their lives with. Lamech. That's why you and I should be out there in the mission field as, you know, the service finishes, we go out into the mission field and tell others about Jesus and tell others about Christ. Because there is so much need in this world. Here, Louisiana, Nicaragua, Guatemala, name it. There's so much you and I can do because there are people trying to find that joy, protection, sense of security, that empowerment from the stuff that they have, from the stuff that they can get, from the people they know, from the people that they can get to meet. But you know, the Bible talks about another Lamech in Genesis 5. And I said this at the beginning, it was a different Lamech, church. It was a different Lamech. And there's not much about him. The Bible doesn't mention a whole lot. The Bible only says that, you know, his age and that he became the father of a son. It didn't say how many wives he had. It didn't say how many children he had. It doesn't mention the accomplishment of his children. It doesn't mention if he was well off or not. It doesn't say that he was feared. Remember the first one? That first one was a fear fellow. He was arrogant, but he was fear as well. Nobody would mess with him. He said, if anybody touches me, you know my great-great-grandpa? It says that 7 times he would be avenged. I'm going to be 77 times avenged. Endlessly avenged. I'll take revenge on those who try to do something against me, double-cross me. Very arrogant. But it doesn't say anything about this Lamech here being feared. It doesn't say anything more about him. It only says that he had a son and that he had hope. In fact, church, he was powerful as well. His name was Lamech, remember? Lamech means powerful. But he was powerful in a different sense, in a different way, church. Even more powerful than his relative, the one that had lived, I don't know, years before, centuries before, or maybe he was still alive. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't give us that information. It doesn't matter, really. And you'll see why. But he was probably even more powerful than him. And you know why? Because he had the Lord in his life. He had the fear of God in his life. And you and I can see that in verse 28 where he says, may he bring us relief from our work and the painful labor of farming this ground that, who? The Lord has cursed. The Lord has cursed. You see the name of the Lord there, Elohim, which means the great living God, the true living God in Hebrew. That's what it means, the Lord. The other Lamech doesn't even mention him at all. There's no mention of him. In the other passage of Scripture, remember in Genesis 4, it doesn't say anything about the Lord because he didn't know the Lord. But this other Lamech knew who the Lord was, and that's why he was even more powerful than the first Lamech. He had found joy, comfort, and relief in the Lord. The Lord has spoken to him. Evidently, he had a relationship with God. He had a relationship with him because the Lord has spoken to him about the son he was going to have, and he was going to name him Noah. So he had a relationship. He had a communication with God. He would talk to him. We can deduce that by reading the scriptures here, church. We can jump into that conclusion. Because he said, may he bring us relief from our work and the painful labor of farming this ground that the Lord has cursed. He hoped that the Lord would use his son, Noah, to bring relief, rest, and comfort to all. In fact, the name Noah means comfort and rest. And he was hoping God would do something during his time, because during that time, church, remember, they were in a fallen world just like you and I live in a fallen world where sin abounds, and sin was abounding back then. But you know what the Bible says? That where sin abounds, his grace abounds even much more. It doesn't matter how evil You know, the world can become these days. And the Bible says that in the last days, in the end times, men would become lovers. People would become lovers of themselves. They would become envious. They would become God haters. They would be turning to their own pleasures instead of turning to God. And you and I know that is true. You know, my dad tells me that back then when he was a kid, in fact, when my grandmother was a child, and my dad is 93, he was born in 1927. So I'm talking about what, maybe later part of the 19th century when my grandmother was a child, they didn't use locks on doors. And that was probably the same thing here. People wouldn't lock doors. They would leave them open all day and all night. Why? Because people respected each other. People respected each other's property and each other's possessions. In most places, that was the case, I would assume. You know? But now these days, we got to have security. We got to have alarm systems. We got to have cameras in place, right? Why? Because the evil that we see in the world, the wickedness we see in the world. And that was the case back then when Lamech, this other Lamech, was alive. He was hoping God would do something about the situation in which they were in. Just like you and I can place our hope in Jesus and hope that he will do something about what's going on in the world these days, church. About the injustice, about the iniquity, about the stuff that's happening in our own country. Amen? God can do something about that. Jesus is in control. Yes, he is. Remember, in the beginning I mentioned what my friend had told me, that whatever happens in the world, it hasn't taken God by surprise. Even that little cold or whatever it is, you know, that headache or the whatever disease it is or whatever trial or tribulation you and I might be going through or about to go through, God is aware of it. And he knows what's going to happen in the end. And just like Pastor Bruce says, usually the church will win out in the end. Amen. At the end of Revelation, we will win. Yes, yes, we will win. So going back to this Lamech, he had hoped that God would do something back then. Using his son, talking about teaching your son, amen, talking about teaching your children the ways of the Lord. And I want to thank God, because on Saturday nights we have a live bunch. We have a lot of children my son's age, and we're trying to do something about that. Just like here we do on Wednesday nights, I believe, King's Kids Ministry, and then Sunday mornings, I believe. Hopefully that will be happening again, God willing, amen, because we need to teach children the fear of the Lord, the fear of God. Otherwise, they will be taught something else in schools and out there in the streets. But this Lamech, church, this Lamech, going back to this Lamech, speaks of the believer who trusts Jesus Christ. It speaks of the believer who has placed his trust in God. He is powerful. She is powerful. You know why? Because he finds relief or forgiveness of his works of sinfulness in Christ Jesus. Remember what Lamech has said? That he was hoping that his son would bring relief from his work and the painful labor of farming. Jesus has done that for us. He has brought us relief in the sense of forgiveness of our sins or our works. Remember, the Bible says that you and I are not saved by works, but by grace only. It doesn't matter how good or how much good you can do, which is something you and I should do, you know, as a result of our faith in Christ, as a result of our salvation. It's something that you and I should be doing on a daily basis. God expects us to do that, you know, good works, help our neighbor, pray for our neighbor. Pray for those who are in need. Help the needy. But, you know, those things will not save you. Those things will not save mankind. Jesus is the one who can save us. And so the Bible says in Colossians 3:14, it says, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. Noah here, which means comfort, rest. It means relief. Speaks of Jesus Christ. It's a type of Jesus Christ. It points to Jesus Christ, of what he was going to do on the cross for you and me. And I tell you, church, you and I should be thankful, and we are thankful. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here this morning. But God wants to remind us to be thankful for what Jesus did on the cross for you and me. He not only purchased our freedom from what? From the bond, from sin, of course, from the bondage of sin. We were enslaved to sin. I mentioned a while ago that many of us were probably enslaved to alcoholism or to other vices, drugs, you name it, adultery, fornication. We were enslaved to that old lifestyle, but Jesus came and bought us with his blood. He gave us the freedom that we have. That's why you and I can raise our hands and praise him. That's why you and I can tell others about Christ. That's why you and I do not feel ashamed, you know, when we carry a Bible around with us, you know, and tell others about Jesus, because of the freedom that you and I have. Don't we have freedom in Jesus, church? Don't we have freedom in this place? You know, Paul would tell the churches that where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. And the Holy Spirit is here in this place. And that's why we have freedom in this place. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And he not only gave us freedom, but he forgave our sins. He forgave our trespasses. He forgave our transgressions, our insults, our, you know, the way we offended God, the way we disobey God. And there's hope for that person that's here who doesn't have Jesus in his heart, in his life. There's hope for you, because God has bought your freedom, and God is able to forgive your sins in Christ Jesus. Relief. That person who has found Jesus. Lamech reminds us of that person who has found Christ and has Jesus in his life and has found relief, but also has found rest for his soul. Hallelujah. Rest for his soul. Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. Jesus told the crowd one day when he was ministering, all those who are heavy burden. Remember one time you and I were heavy burden, church? We had burdens on us. You know, the sin can be burdensome, I tell you. Sin can be heavy. Sin can destroy us. Sin has the power to do that to the human heart. But Jesus came and said that those who were weary and were carrying heavy burdens, he would give them rest. Matthew 11:28. He gave us rest for our souls. I think about that hymn that goes, all is well with my soul. Remember that the story behind that hymn, if I'm not mistaken, is that the writer lost his whole family, I believe. His whole family drowned in the Atlantic, if I'm not mistaken. And then he found rest for his soul. How can you do that, church? You lose your whole family. You lose your wife, you lose your children, you lose your loved ones. Some of you have gone through that and are probably going through a period like that. Let me tell you, there is rest for the soul that is grieving, for the soul that is hurting, for the soul that is needy of a touch from God, because Jesus said that there is rest for the soul. Lamech here reminds us of that person who has found rest for his soul and also has found peace and joy. Amen. There is peace and joy. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to be smiling all the time, you know, because sometimes we're going to be sad. We're going to be grieving. But even during those times, church, we can have peace and joy, everlasting peace, everlasting joy. You want to ask me about that? I'll tell you what peace and joy means. It means being in Christ. It means letting Christ into your heart. Trusting Christ, trusting his words. Jesus said it in John 14:27, and I'm reading from the New International Version. I think there's a different version up there, probably the New Living Translation. But my version says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not like the world gives you peace, but like I give you, the peace of God. Paul talks about that in Philippians 4, if I'm not mistaken, where it says that we shouldn't be anxious over anything, over disease, over trials, over unemployment, over relationship issues. We shouldn't be anxious over those things, but instead, bring them to God in prayer. And God will give you the peace that goes beyond understanding. I think some versions read beyond all understanding, meaning that the human mind is not able to understand the peace that God gives, the peace that God offers. And you know what? He's here this morning to offer peace to the troubled soul, to the restless soul, to the soul that's still finding meaning and purpose. Amen. Hallelujah. And joy, of course, and healing. I've been having back issues lately, you know. And it hurts. It hurts. Those of us who've had back issues know what it feels like, you know. But, you know, when I stand here, I forget all about that. Because I think about the peace of Christ, the joy of Christ, and the fact that he's able to heal if he wants. Of course, you know, he's sovereign. But if he doesn't, I still have the peace of Christ. I still have the joy of Christ. I still see myself reflected in this Lamech here in the Bible in chapter 5 in the book of Genesis. And of course, protection, church, protection. The Christian who finds protection in Christ and God is reflected here in this fellow named Lamech. The Bible says, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Remember that other Lamech had that wife, Zillah? And that name meant shade. He had that false sense of security, false sense of protection. But the child of God can find true protection in him, in God himself. Yes. The Christian can find protection in Jesus himself because God protects him and watches over him. And most important of all, last but not least, this Lamech speaks of the believer, church, who trusts Jesus and finds power in him. And it's empowered in him and receives power from him. The Bible says in John 7, verses 38 and 39, whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given. Speaking about the Holy Spirit, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. It talks about the power that the Christian has in the Spirit. Jesus would tell his disciples in Acts 1, verse 8, he tells them that they would receive power. Remember, they would receive power when the Holy Spirit would come over them. The Spirit would come to them and would empower them. The Holy Spirit would come and give them the power that they needed. The power to overcome sin. The power to overcome temptation. The power to overcome anything in this world in Jesus' name. The power to be out there and be bold witnesses for Christ. The power to be able to open your mouth and witness about Christ. The power that comes only from God. This Lamech reminds us of the believer who finds his true power, the true source of power in Christ Jesus. Because the believer who trusts Jesus is powerful, church. The believer who trusts Jesus has power, not power from this world, but power from above, power from God. Now, this doesn't mean, you know, that it's a power like the world has, but it's a greater power, the power from God, the power to pray when there's need, the power to come to Jesus and be able to present your knees and pray before him. You know, there's power in prayer. You know, yesterday when my wife and I had to do a wedding yesterday here outside of town, and it rained about 1:30. And I was really concerned about the couple that I was going to marry, you know, because it was going to be an outdoor wedding. It was going to be outside. And I was so concerned about that wedding getting rained out. And I didn't even know who they were. It was like a last minute thing. And I was telling my wife, you know, it's going to rain. It is going to rain. And it rained 1:30, and the wedding was at 4, and it was 3 o'clock, and it was still drizzling, you know. And I began to pray, and I said, God, you know, just please make the rain go away if it's your will in Jesus' name. And I told my wife, I think I'm even more concerned that the couple themselves, you know, they're probably not even worried that it's going to rain. And my wife was saying, you know, no, don't say that. I wouldn't say that, because if I was the bride, I'd be terrified. You know, just think about her makeup and her hairdo. Oh, mine, and her wedding gown. Oh, no, what a disaster that could be. But you know what? We prayed. And guess what? The rain went away. Thank Jesus. And Jesus and God had a purpose for that, because you know what? I had a chance to speak to the groom and be able to plant the seed of the gospel. And then I understood, God, thank you. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. It was the last minute, you know, kind of thing. Something that came up at the last moment. And I didn't understand. And at first, you know, I was a little hesitant because I didn't know anyone. Or so I thought, you know, I'm not going to know anyone, you know. They're expecting someone else to do the wedding. But God had a purpose. And you know what that young man said? He said, you know what, Pastor? What time is your service? Sunday mornings at 10:30, right? Yep, 10:30, right. You know, I think, and I told my bride, that it would do me good to go to church and get closer to God. You're right about that. It would do you and me and everyone else in this world to get closer to God. The power of prayer, church, you know. That might seem a little insignificant, but there's nothing insignificant when it comes to prayer. It could be a mom praying for his son. It could be a father praying for his sick child. It could be a husband praying for his wife. It could be an unemployed, single mother struggling to make ends meet. And you know what? When they get down on their knees to pray and ask God to do something, you know, there's that power that flows through. There's that joy. There's that peace. There's that lament once again, you know, coming back to life, if you will, you know, because you and I see the power of God in there. The power of prayer, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of being dependent on God. Where are we getting our power from this morning, church? What is your source of power? What is your source of joy and peace this morning? Where do you find meaning this morning, church, I ask you? Or let me ask that again. The Lord is asking us, where do we find those things in? Is it in the stuff that we have? Is it in the stuff that we have achieved or we hope to achieve? Is it on the relationships that surround us, our friends, our girlfriend, our boyfriend, our fiance, or our husbands, wives, our children. Hey, I love my kid, you know. Where is he? He's still there, yeah, all right. I love that little boy, you know. He's special, Josiah. But, you know, I can't put my hopes on him, you know. I can't find my joy, my true source of joy in him. Although, yeah, he is a source of joy. And I tell you, I mean, he is something else. Yes, yes, he is. Praise God. But I cannot let him define joy and peace. Or to Lillian. Or vice versa, you know. That has to come from God. That has to come from the Lord. So where are we finding that this morning? Is it something we hope to do or receive in the future? What is it? You know what it is. You know your heart. Better still, God knows your heart better than you do. Because Jeremiah says that there is nothing more wicked or deceitful than the heart, the human heart, that is. And only God knows what's in our hearts. Let's think about that this morning, church, as we stand and meditate on what God has spoken to us this morning. What is our source of joy? What is our source of peace? Where does our power come from? You know, that first Lamech thought he had it made, had everything at his disposal, had confidence, had security, had power, had company, had money, had knowledge at his disposal. He even had fame. You know, first bigamist in history, first fear man in history. Nobody could lay a finger on him because he felt powerful. That first Lamech, nothing could touch him. But we never heard from him again. We never read about him again in the scriptures. God only knows where he is at this moment. I mean, I kind of have an idea where he's at, you know, but down there, probably, you know. But all that he had gave him a false sense of security, a false sense of joy, false peace. Everything he had, everything about him was all false, untrue, not the real deal, church. But the other Lamech, the second one, he had a son. And he named him Noah. And you know, we could say, well, we never read about him again. Pastor Pedro, you know, Pedro, we never read about Lamech again. Wonder what happened to good old Lamech. Well, church, in Luke chapter 3, the Bible talks about the genealogy of Jesus Christ, talks about the ancestry of Christ, where Jesus came from. Yeah, we know he came from the Father, of course, but speaking about the human ancestry of God, and it says here in Luke chapter 3, you know, in verse 23, Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age, being the son of Joseph, and the son of Heli, and the son of Levi, and it goes on and on. But when it gets to verse 36, it says, the son of Canaan, the son of Arphaxad, the son of Shem, the son of Noah, the son of Lamech. Hallelujah. The son of Lamech. Talk about legacy, church. Huh? Talk about a powerful legacy.
Because he had a true sense of security in God himself. He had a true peace and joy about him that none other during his time had. He had a true sense of protection because the God, the Elohim, the true living God was with him. Is that who we're trusting in this morning, church? Let's pray that's the case, church. Amen. Father, I just pray that you speak to our lives this morning through this message, God. I understand and I realize, Father, that it's profound, Lord, and we could have gone on, Lord, and because the scriptures are so deep, Father God, and profound, Lord, and this is just the surface, Lord God. But I thank you, Lord, that even with these few scriptures, you speak to your church, Father, about being aware of a false sense of security that's found in the world, about that false power that's available to those who give themselves to the desires of their hearts, God. Thank you for warning us, Lord, about that false joy that we once thought we had, Father God, because it's a reminder, Father, of what we went through, what we've been through, Lord, of the hurts and the pain we suffered. But Father God, it's also a blessing to know, Lord, that we can turn to you, we can run to you, Father God, with arms open and just ask you to forgive us, to fill us with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, because we can find true joy in you. Even though we might be grieving and weeping, Lord, in secret, Lord, because I sense, God, that there are some in this place, Lord, that are grieving and hurting on the inside, Lord. Yes, Lord, stuff has happened to them. I realize that, Lord. And I'm not being a prophet this morning, God, because you are the true prophet. Only you know the hearts that are present in this morning. But you know, Father God, that there are some here that are probably grieving and trying to find that joy and peace, that security, Father, that they long for. But God, I ask you that you reveal yourselves to them in Jesus' name, Father. Amen.